Good afternoon. I'm going to follow that. I am a public health advocate, and I guess I'll defend myself. I've never been compared to the Tea Party movement. I'm not going to take any offense at that. What I would like to talk about, and I'm coming from a position working with public health and agriculture policy, and the title of my presentation is Engaging Stakeholders in a Complex Policy Environment. And we're a rather new organization, and I would like to start by saying I think we've had some success in looking at and influencing agriculture policy to actually promote healthier eating. What I'd like to do is just give an idea of what our organization is about to start with, and then kind of give three cases on what we're trying to do to engage stakeholders in this complex environment. What I'd like to say is, in terms of European policy, we don't deal with states or provinces, but we deal with 27 member states. And in these member states, there are very diverse both interests in relation to agriculture, but also in terms of food culture. So I would echo, we definitely do not believe in one size fits all. So I'm not going to stick too much to my presentation, actually, but consider this kind of background information. But what we are is we're a coalition or that's Brussels-based of public health organizations, and we work specifically. My role is to work on agriculture policy and how we can actually gear up some of the things that are going on locally with agriculture and scale it up towards national and even international policy. I think these are our members. You'll see several European organizations and also some UK-based organizations. But our view is we're looking at a European agriculture policy and not member state or national agriculture policy. So what we're trying to do is we're looking at not just how to make agriculture policy, how to play it into healthier choices, but we also need to look, I'm going to throw in another dimension, we also have to look at sustainable consumption. So not just in terms of health and chronic disease, but also in terms of how the food we eat and how we produce it influences aspects like biodiversity, climate change, feeding a growing world population. Now, I would also like to say that agriculture policy in terms of food policy is just part of the picture. In terms of food policy, we have retail policy, we have corporate policy. There's a lot of different policy areas in terms of food. And even though the EU budget for agriculture policy is 40 billion euros a year, in terms of corporate food policy, it might not look that big. So basically what we're trying to do is, and I'm going to focus more on how we work on strategic alliances and how we engage stakeholders. But one of our key objectives is, and I think this is where I'm going to answer, but we try to provide a very high level of evidence and health intelligence to decision makers in the EU. Now, we would like to see that agriculture policy or policy in general is based on evidence. But I think we have to make the realization that a lot of policy is not based on evidence. Some of it's based in spite of evidence, and I'm quoting my ex-professor Tim Lang on this. And what we see in the European Union a lot is that we're actually using evidence, or what they're calling the lack of evidence, to not put policy in place. Now, I think we need to take a, I think we know enough to put initiatives in place. And as David Katz said, there's probably no one magic bullet to doing this, but we have to look at we need to look at different interventions, otherwise we're not going to get there. So what we really try to do in our work in building strategic alliances, a lot of the work we do is we build alliances among the civil society organizations and also sector representatives, so representatives of certain food industries. We work on basically developing good working relationships with DG Agri and DG Senko, which are the government. And this is much more complex than that, because in terms of food and agriculture policy, it's not just agriculture, public health, but it's also trade, it's climate change, it's the internal market, just to name a few of the other DGs that influence this process. And we also are working actively with the WHO and their Action Network on diet and social inequality. So what I'd like to do is start by where we started, basically. And we knew if we were going to influence policy that we probably should have a win on our belt. And one of the things that we were working on was a European Union school fruit scheme. Now, I'm not going to suggest that this will have a profound impact on public health, but the impact we actually see is that it's been a way of illustrating how health and agriculture policy can work together, and also how we get public health, agriculture, and education to work together. And what I'd like to say is, without engaging the fruit and vegetable industry and the fruit and vegetable stakeholders with civil society and public health, this initiative would have never left ground zero. And evidence is nice. We had some good quality evidence that these type of schemes actually increased the consumption of fruit and vegetables, but without the engagement of politicians, political champions, it wouldn't have gone through the political process. It was a good idea on paper, but the resistance that we met within DG Agri to put this into effect was huge. It also was the start of a very transparent and engaging legislative process where they actually asked public health people for input to make this a much better initiative. And the work is continuing with an expert and stakeholder group to make sure that implementation of the project is as good as possible. Now, we don't know if it works, because there's two major goals. One is to improve what children, school children, eat, and the other that it can actually be beneficial for a struggling fruit and vegetable sector. But in terms of a policy, it's a political success. So now we have a political success, and then we must look at how it's working in terms of impact. The other example I would like to give on how we're engaging with stakeholders is the common agriculture policy right now is going through a period of major change, and it's being reformed. There'll be a new framework in 2013, and what we're really trying to do is engage with civil society. The debate right now, I think Jörn mentioned that this morning that the common agriculture policy and the farm bill are good for nothing, basically. Now, I think there's been a lot of debate on how much money should be spent, but I think the focus of what we're trying to do is how is the money spent. And the debate has been moving from that the agriculture policy and food policy needs to move from just giving money to farmers to actually providing some sort of public good for the public monies that are spent during this. Now, the Agricultural and Rural Convention is something we're deeply involved in, and what we're trying to do is to give an influence to the voice of civil society for a new European common agriculture policy. And what we're really trying to do is when you work with a lot of different actors and stakeholders, and this is between business, academia, and civil society, is sometimes a collection of ideas or involvement of the stakeholders, you just end up going for the lowest common denominator. So what we're really trying to do is make an innovative negotiation process between stakeholders and hopefully come up with something very unique and some very tangible ideas on how food and agriculture policy should be reformed. And then I just give something on new collaboration. What we're really trying to do is, because a lot of the discussion often in agriculture policy revolves around Western European and the wants and needs, I think the usual saying is if Germany agrees and France agrees and the UK doesn't oppose it, then it goes through in terms of agriculture policy. But with the new member states and also a European Parliament that's playing an increasing role, we need to look at some of the new member states and what they're doing in terms of agriculture policy, and also that they're becoming an increasing power in the negotiations. Now, what we're really trying to do with new member states is they have a fairly weak civil society movement, and so we're doing a lot of capacity building to engage stakeholders in this process. Now, one of the things that we see in Eastern Europe is it's in transition, and there are still a lot of people employed in agriculture. and the transition from rural to urban societies can be quite problematic, both in terms of public health and social policy. So what we're trying to do is say, you know, can we, I think the expression was piggyback onto this, can we skip some of the negative steps that Western Europe has gone through, and we need to get them involved in identifying the new objectives for a common agriculture policy. So those were my three examples, and what I want to say is common agriculture policy, and I think agriculture policy is often used more for crisis management. We've seen BSE crisis. Right now they're talking about the current crisis in the dairy sector, which is a lot about huge fluctuations of price and a lot of volatility in prices. One end it hurts the farmers, on the other end it hurts the consumers. We've also heard a lot of talk about a feed crisis, that we don't have enough feed to feed livestock in the EU. Now, we also had a financial crisis, and that was just a blip on our radar. And I think my point is, with all these different crises, that there's a lot of short-term action being taken. And we have to remember that this short-term action shouldn't impede on our long-term goals. Now, we also have a climate change crisis. We have a global food security crisis, or feeding a growing world population. And we also have a public health crisis. And I think what we really need to look at is how do we identify long-term solutions to meet this goal. And this is why I want to talk about policy, because I think policy, what we need to use it is to get a place where we want to go and where the market might not deliver. So I think what we're seeing, and I think there should be a question mark after the converging agendas, because I see it as convergent agendas, but I'm not sure that everybody in this room or policymakers would agree with me. But we have a problem of chronic disease, and diet is one of the major modifiable determinants of that. We see climate change, and we also have problems. We'll be increasingly faced with problems due to limited land resources, limited water resources, to feed a growing world population. Now, what I'd like to suggest is that this means that we need to move both consumption patterns and production. And I think this kind of says it. We need to move from current consumption towards more plant-based consumption. And we've worked a lot on increasing fruit and vegetable consumption, but we also need to remember that we need to decrease the consumption of dairy, meat, processed foods high in fat, sugar, and salt. Now, I think some of the pointers in this is that they point in some of the same direction. So, and this is what I usually try to finish up with. And this is a Deputy Director General in DG Agri, who basically made the comment, and I think this is the role of civil society in a nutshell. Basically, what we need to do is help build public support for policy change. Basically, what he said, you know, what you're asking us to do is to put obesity, and I've put chronic disease because I think we have to remember we're not just dealing with obesity, but we're also dealing with CVD, cancer, diabetes, and obesity. So, and basically what he said is you're asking us to put this alongside climate change because the climate change debate has gotten into agriculture policy. You're asking us to put this on our agenda, and for us to do that, you have to help us build political support. Now, I'm looking at us all in this room, and I've felt that I've got a wealth of input to do my work this morning, and I think basically we're all actors in trying to, I guess, to hold back the tidal waters, or actually to move towards a food system that promotes public health. And with those words, I would like to say thank you very much.